It's time now for America in the Balance. Brought to you by Oklahomans for Sovereignty and Free Enterprise. And now your co-hosts, Amanda Teagarden and Don Wyatt.
And welcome, freedom-loving Oklahomans, to another hour of America in the Balance on Truth in Focus Internet Radio. This is your host, Amanda Teagarden, not in studio with Don Wyatt today. Don is on assignment, and filling in for Don today is Howard Houchin, who is the regular co-host on Axiom for Liberty on Rule of Law Radio. And Howard, are you there?
You bet, Amanda.
I am so delighted that you're able to fill in for Don. How are you today?
I am doing wonderful, and first of all, it is an honor and a privilege to fill in for Don and be with you here on America in the Balance today. Thanks for asking.
Well, we're just delighted that you're able to be here on such short notice, and we've got a great guest today. His name is Dr. Robert Groves, who's a naturopath, and we are going to bring him up in just a second. And I just wanted to let you know our website, my website is for our organization is ok-safe.com. That's ok-safe.com. And our other website is exposinghealthcarereform.com. That's the new one that is dedicated to a single subject, which is, as the title indicates, exposinghealthcarereform.com. And Howard, we know that the subject of healthcare is on everybody's mind. Since the passage of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, known as Obamacare, in March of 2010, and the fact that at this time of this recording, that the Supreme Court has already heard the oral arguments on the constitutionality of the individual mandate, and we're all waiting for their decision. And Howard, have you ever thought about health care as much as you have in the last couple of years?
I think just the general population of not only Oklahoma, we've dealt with this, I don't know, you've been very close to it, I have as well, but the population throughout America, it's just astounding at how much we're joining public policy with notions of health care, that level of it today. And, you know, to me, Amanda, it's plain, folks understand that's not a good marriage. Healthcare should be our decision between us, whatever practitioner of medicine that we decide to choose. You know, what's funny, man, is that, you know, we're not dumb peasants. We should be able to make up our mind and choose what remedies we think is the best course with consultation with folks that do this for a living, not bureaucrats, not policymakers.
What I've seen lately, and I'm on some pretty interesting email lists for newsletters, is that the subject of healthcare, it's not about dealing with the sick people, it's about health. It's become politicized, and now it's publicly discussed as part of public policy. And once that happens, where the state is involved in health decisions, we are no longer a free people. We haven't been for quite a while, but really when it comes into health, when the state can come in and decide, make decisions on your worth, your lifestyle, where you can get treatment, etc. We're living in a vastly different situation than we were 10, 20 years ago. This idea of reforming healthcare has been around since before Clinton became president, and we had the discussions, public discussions on what was called Hillary Care. And that idea, even though Clinton left office, the idea of reforming health care into this monstrosity that it is today, where the state is heavily involved, has been progressing every year, regardless of administration, since the early 90s. And we're seeing the fruition of it with two bills, the stimulus bill for the funding of this move toward electronic health records, and then followed up by the trailer bill, which was the Affordable Care Act. Well, we have a guest today. We've talked quite extensively on past radio shows on the Affordable Care Act, exposing health care reform for what it is, the insurance exchanges, the health information exchanges, and electronic health records. So what we're doing today with this interview is to show that there are alternatives for people to consider. You don't have to be funneled in to a state-run system. There are options, as there should be, as Howard pointed out. And our guest today is Dr. Robert Groves. And today's program is going to be about healthcare and health issues, since they're on everyone's mind. Robert Groves, an ND, who is going to discuss the basic philosophy of natural remedies and the benefit of using them. And how does one live a heart-healthy lifestyle? Howard, we're always hearing about heart health, and so we maybe get some good pointers today. And just what is Oklahoma Health Freedom Act? I like the name of that. And our guest, Dr. Groves, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Well, welcome very much. Thank you for being on our show today, and we welcome you. And give us some background on yourself, and tell us a little about yourself and how people could reach you if they're interested.
All right. If they want to reach me, they can. Well, first, they can check out my website if they like. It's information only, but they can always contact the office should they be interested in anything that I speak about there on the website or particular products. Our phone number here is 918-496-9401. And I work by appointment only. I have an office located at 71st and Trenton, which is between Lewis and Riverside, right above the Hamlet Restaurant and the Bridgepoint Shopping Center. The phone number is 918-496-9401. Those are the best ways to get hold of me, is through the telephone. And I basically today would like to cover as many questions as possible that you two have, because they're your interviewing skills. And I have to agree wholeheartedly with a lot of what Howard said, and you as well, in regards to the health freedom that's so important, how bad it's gotten. Some of the things in our founders, people of those times, is quite enlightening, that area that I'll get to in just a little bit. But more on the background of myself, as I got started out being interested in this, because I was diagnosed as a child having muscular dystrophy and was sent home to die. I was what they call a Jerry's kid. And by age 22, I was a worn-out old man, balding, graying, very unhealthy, and didn't expect to live, because I found out at 15, finally, that that was the problem with my body. I didn't, get bladder control till 12. Well, Oklahoma wind was blowing me over at 15, so then finally I found out from my family. It's one of those family secrets. And then later on, after I rebuilt my health through natural means, I ran to a senator named Al Lindley down there in Oklahoma here at the legislature, and he was terming out, and we'd worked on a couple of issues. And he said, "Oh, you're a Jerry's orphan." I said, "What's that?" He said, "Oh, I had that had muscular dystrophy, and it's a particular rare form they couldn't do anything for." But I was at one of the telethons that was going on. There was a bunch of former Jerry's kids, including one that was a poster child in wheelchairs, and they were healthy, and they were acting out because they wouldn't let them speak, and they had them arrested and thrown out. Then he said, "I'm thoroughly convinced that they're not the least bit interested in any kind of cure or hearing anything about it." And I said, "Well, you know, Al, that's not surprising, but it's enlightening, because I just kind of thought I was a freak of nature, that I lived and actually got better and regained my health. So it's nice to know that I'm not that weird." So that's kind of how I got some of the introduction to pursuing natural health, is because of my own condition. And there wasn't really anything around, so I had to do it by hook and by crook at first and discovering things. And after enough years of working with it and reversing my disease process to becoming healthy, then I found schools and went there and learned and educated myself in additional ways. But by the time I was 28, to give you an example, I'd reversed my aging process so much that I actually got kicked out of a restaurant in Norman, Oklahoma, back when we didn't have liquor by the drink, and they thought that I wasn't even old enough to have a driver's license. And it irritated me so much I grew a beard, and I still have one to this day. And now in my 60s, I still look younger than I did in my early 20s. So it's quite a change, and virtually anything can be healed if you know what to do and how to do it, and you've got the drive and determination to do it.
I'm looking at you.
There's no such thing.
When you were saying that those Jerry's kids wanted to speak and they started to act out because they were prevented from, I'm reminding of, we're coming up to convention sessions in the Republican Party, and the idea of people being thrown out and arrested. That kind of discussion came up recently when we were just preparing for a Republican convention on those who might boo or act out. Anyway, I just am astonished at that story, because like a lot of people, I thought that those people on the telethons and those in the wheelchairs were condemned to that for a lifetime.
Well, most are because they don't know what to do, and the drug companies are always looking for a drug to do things with, and that's where most all the money goes for research. And I mean, there's plenty of charities that do good work. There are tons of people in the MDA Association that are doing work from their heart and that don't know different or better, but there is definitely, shall we say, in the upper echelons, for lack of a better word, strong resistance to anything that doesn't have to do with a drug. In fact, one of the things I was informed once by a legal opinion was that you cannot use the word cure unless it is done by a patent drug. You're not allowed to use that word. You can only say remission. So I can't tell people, well, I'm cured of muscular dystrophy. I can say, well, it's in a, you know, almost a 40-year remission now. But that's a can't claim cure. And it's irritating for a lot of folks, and it's lightning along the way. And once you get past the anger and see what it is that you need to do to take care of yourself, then it becomes a very enlightening journey.
Your website, by the way, is robertgroves.com, robertgroves.com.
And Dr. Groves, first, thanks for being with us today. But now, during and we're going to get to another question real quick, but I have to ask. Now, you did state that you were in your early 60s, correct?
Correct.
All right. Now, how old is the picture on your website?
Well, that's from 2007, but that was a
okay,
a
so you were 55 years old. And honestly, I'm sitting here looking at it. First of all, as you're well aware, I'm completely bald, have been for, I don't know, 20-some-odd years. I'm looking at this picture, and this is not a picture of a 55, 56, 57-year-old man. I'm just going to be honest with you. You look to be in the late 30s, early 40s in this picture. And it's just I couldn't believe it when you said you're in your early 60s.
Well, and that was a bad picture. I usually look younger than that. So it's all right. It's been nice. Let's put it
Yeah, I guess so. Hey, Dr. Groves, if you could you, you know, kind of describe naturopathic medicine, the basic philosophy behind the use of natural remedies versus traditional medicine or traditional remedies?
No, most certainly. Basically, naturopathy can be defined as the art of healthful living and healing, and it's based upon lifestyle education and self-management training of the individual. So as a naturopathic doctor, doctor means teacher. It doesn't mean physicians. Just physicians are also supposed to teach you, but most of them don't. So I go by the traditional meaning of doctor in regards to being a teacher. So we're going to educate you, empower you in how to take care of yourself. And we focus upon the regeneration of your health instead of suppressing symptoms or fighting disease. So if a person comes to see a naturopath, they're going to look at you as you and about what's working, what's not working as well as it could, and how to improve that so that your body gets rid of the disease. Because really, nobody cures anything. It's the body that cures itself, provided it's given the opportunity to do that. Now, there are times such as emergency medicine. You know, indies are absolutely wonderful. You get a car wreck, you need to be at a hospital. But for the majority of what we call disease, especially the chronic degenerative diseases, natural means are far more effective and far more safe. And true health really is gained and maintained as a daily process. It's not merely a goal to achieve someday. Rather, it's an unfolding experience to have and nurture each and every day of our lives. And health involves regularly reexamining our lives on a physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual basis, reviewing our experiences and deciding what we need and want. In this review, we determine what we wish to experience and deciding how we might facilitate harmonious changes that bring about the desired results. You know, instead of fighting ourselves or kicking ourselves in the tail, some negative ways of motivating ourselves, or dis-ease inducing in other cells. So finding that loving, harmonious way to be with ourselves can actually bring us about healthier motivation and faster change. And most people haven't done all this on a conscious and regular basis. So naturopathy will help you examine and discover what's occurring in all aspects of your life that has an influence on your health. And once you discover and determine what your goals and priorities are, we design programs to help empower you through to achieve those goals. Now, we use various and sundry therapies, from naturopathic manipulation, which is working with the soft tissue and balancing the structure of your body, because all function follows form. If your form is out of balance, the internal functioning will be out of balance. It's an architectural basis is where most people have heard that term, but it's in physics and medicine as well. A person that won a Nobel Prize, Hans Selye, whose lecture I attended down in Dallas at SMU, said that all disease begins with postural distortion. That was the very first symptom of anything that he would induce in the laboratory. And he did a 30 years work, all double-blind crossover studies. And he said also the other culmination point of his work was as your stress goes up, your immunity goes down. They're a direct proportion. And so a lot of the major stresses that people have are the imbalances in their bodies from various falls, car wrecks, things of this nature that begin to reduce the function of the body, which can lead to breakdown disease in other ways. Usually we get to a disease through multiple things that have accumulated in life, because one thing by itself is usually not enough to take us down. So finding out that picture of how you got there uniquely is a lot of the actual work that goes on. That's the art of finding out how you got to your mountaintop. There can be 70 paths up there that people to the mountaintop, but you walked a particular way. And finding out and discovering how that is the way back out as well, because otherwise you become a number, dropped into a category. They give you a standard procedure, you know, like an assembly line, and that only works about 20% of the time. So, and a lot of times it makes people worse, which is what we have in traditional medicine.
I just have to ask this question. As I was listening to you, and how what you're describing is a one-on-one approach that's very personal and directed toward you, and the meetings that I've been attending and the research that's been done on what's happening in healthcare is that they're moving towards standardizing the treatment and using something called medical algorithms and decision support tools, which are basically virtual doctors that you put in the symptoms and it spits out a recommended treatment plan. And what you're describing is completely different.
Oh, totally the opposite, because it would be wonderful to do that if people came standardized, but they don't. That's the thing. That's, you know, people are not standardized. They're not going to ever be standardized, but I can see in the foreseeable future. And this hypnotic addiction to standardizations is ridiculous. We saw what that did with Nazi Germany, and of course that was set up by the drug companies. So it's still the basic grumpy chant of the mind list, and it has nothing to do with actual health. It has to do with controlled treatment of disease for the rest of your kept sick life to make the most amount of money profit-wise, and it is trying to be sold to you for your own good, which is not really, because you're not a computer, you're not standardized. That's one of the most ridiculous, inane philosophies out there. But you can amass a lot of paper and statistics to continue that big lie, but that's what it is.
Is the philosophy, does that include the fact that God provided natural remedies, that everything that, not everything, maybe that's the wrong word to use, but that remedies are out there that are not synthetic, not manufactured in a test tube in a lab, but that already exist out there that will benefit our health? So what I'm saying is that God provided for us. Is that your...
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There are so many things out there that we know and so many that we're yet to discover that are amazing and far better than the patent drugs. Majority of drugs are derived from byproducts of petroleum, and that's all that makes it basically carcinogenic. So that's one of the byproducts over a period of years you're going to have from using those. And they're all designed to suppress symptoms in your body, and that's how they predominantly manage it. It's nothing to rebuild you. It's suppressing one. It's kind of like going to the arcade where you hit the little thing on the head and another one pops up, and then they get going faster and faster and you got too many popping up. And that's kind of what happens to people predominantly that pursue the drug route for treating degenerative disease. It just doesn't work as a philosophy, and it's extremely flawed. Now, in the natural side, what we take a look at is how can we feed the functioning of that particular organ or system within the body in harmony with the other systems, because they're always fully communicating with each other. The body rebuilds itself, and the plant kingdom is full of that. Even the Bible says the healing of the nations are in the leaves of the plants. So it's there. It's just a matter of learning what it is. And we've got hundreds, sometimes thousands of years of research on these that's out there and proven safe and effective. But you can't patent it. So there's not really money in it. And unfortunately, in this business, it's, you know, follow the money and you find out the reasons for the things that don't make sense make dollars. And it's what's going on there. Now, you can use the oils of the plant. You can use the fibers of the plant. You can use the sugars in the plant. Each of them have different aspects. Some are made by other creatures, such as honey. Raw honey I found to be the best for treating burns at any level. Usually pain's gone within 10 to 15 minutes. It heals the tissue faster. Anything's great for cuts and wounds, because if you have raw honey, not the stuff you usually find in the store unless it says organic raw honey, it will kill the viruses, bacteria, it'll speed the healing of the tissues, and it puts in all the raw pre-digested amino acids into your bloodstream, so your liver starts making new tissue in as quick as 3 minutes and starts rebuilding that. It's some of the most amazing healing you'll ever see.
So we don't need Neosporin. You could put the Neosporin away.
I'm sitting here I'm making notes.
Me too. Wow.
Predominantly, I work with people's diet and food, because that's where a lot of the poisoning and intoxication comes in. And it's like I can give all kinds of remedies and situations, but if we're constantly poisoning ourselves, it's a lot harder to get any kind of results or lasting results. So one of the first things I do when I see a person, when they come in, we're looking at a 2 to 3 hour interview process, going over their entire history that they know of from conception on, of course, family history, if that's known, and current symptomology, and we mix all that along with my examination that I do, and we take a look at what are the consistent factors here and how the person got to where they're at. And then I take a look at specifically what their diet is and show them the principles about selecting food, preparing food, combining food, finding out what foods are most optimal for them, and to choose from those foods as a way of life. And so we all have to eat, so you might as well eat the stuff that supports you instead of what poisons you. And so this is what we do. One of the things I'll do, although I won't go into the details here, but there's a thing called blood type diet. And for many people, that's one of their main sources of inflammation that's breaking down their body. So I'll also include about what foods are most compatible with their blood type. And that can make anywhere from a 20% to a 70% effect upon what's going on with them. So that can be a major change for a lot of people in their health. And you add to that exercise, or I actually like to call it joyful movement. If it's not joyful, it's drudgery. So if you don't like a particular exercise, don't do it. The body knows what it does and doesn't like. So some people, their joyful exercise will be walking. Some people, their joyful exercise will be going out and skiing. It just depends upon you and what your body tells you. And these are the things that we'll take a look for in regards to how can you create more and more ease in the performance of your life.
All right.
The opposite is dis-ease. Exactly.
All right. We're going to have to take a break right now and hold that thought, Dr. Groves. This is Amanda Teagarden with Howard Houchin as my co-host today on America in the Balance. We'll be right back.
Promote your business on the internet? The Truth in Focus Radio Network reaches listeners locally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and all across the United States. The shift is on from traditional media to internet marketing. Stay on the cutting edge with your business. Advertise with us today. Email radio at truthinfocus.org. You heard the word, so will they. Email us at radio at truthinfocus.org.
And welcome back to the second half of America in the Balance on Truth in Focus Internet Radio. This is Amanda Teagarden with my special co-host today, Howard Houchin. Are you there?
You bet, Amanda. And I was just enjoying the classical piece by Vivaldi.
Isn't that great? It's spring. It's spring. Right. It's spring.
Yes.
Well, Benjamin and I are sitting here in studio, sitting up straighter so that we have better posture, and discussing that we're both going to go out and buy raw honey after the show. Like that. Dr. Groves, I wanted to ask you a question before we get on to the next question. Is that you mentioned that you have a 2 or 3 hour interview with your patients and get into quite detailed information about it. And I'm going to guess that you're not putting that information in electronic format and putting it out on the internet, are you?
No, that's correct, because a lot of it is the verbal feedback, the ways that people move, or more precisely the ways they don't move, because that shows me where there's inhibiting in regards to the functioning of their body. There are so many thousands of signals that I'm going to be reading while I'm interviewing a person and observing them walking back to the treatment room, or while they sit, how they sit, how they breathe, things of this nature. None of that can be done electronically. You have to be there with the person interviewing them to get the feel, to observe all the various aspects that go on with a person in order to understand what's there. And also, you need the one-on-one contact, because people will be a lot more honest in that situation, and I can also help them remember things or ask them questions to bring up information they may have intended to say but just completely forgot because they're in a new situation. And if you aren't asked on a form, say an electronic thing, well, then you don't get the information that may be there that you may not have put on a form. So it's not a very good way to interview people. It's over any kind of electronic media. You need one-on-one.
I would also be willing to bet, Amanda and Dr. Groves, that, and I think what Amanda was referring to was the privacy of a patient's personal medical situation or history, and with the electronic medical records format that is being being pushed well before the current PPAC or Obamacare. But I also am willing to bet that he will not sell that information to a third party like some research groups. We see it in education. We're starting to see it in medicine now. That you could sell some of that information. So I would be willing to bet that Dr. Groves actually adheres to what we all expect from our doctor, and that's to keep our information secret between he and I.
Absolutely. And the records I have here are also considered your records, and the only people that can have them are you. You know, if you want someone else to have them, and you say, okay, go ahead and send it here, then I'll do that. Otherwise, you come and get them or get a copy of them, but otherwise no one gets your records or your information no matter what. So
that's that's an astonishing idea. Imagine that.
That sounds like the hippocrat.
I went for some records of mine back when I was a teenager, and the doctor's office was very indignant and said, no, you can't have the doctor's records. I said, no, they're my records. I said, no, they're the doctor's records on you, and you can't have them. And it was kind of a rude awakening that this isn't right. If you're going to have information on me, I want to know what it is. But that's one of the problems, is that they think that people are stupid, which is unfortunate, because they're trained that way, and that they think that you can't know anything, and they're also afraid you'll find out what they don't know. You know, those are three of my favorite words, I don't know. And then I follow it with, but I can find out. Or if I can't help you, I can find someone who can. And that's the important thing. There's not the safety, the concern, or the humility with and for the patient that's there. In fact, I don't even call people that see me patients. I call them clients. Patients are people that are sick. Okay, I'm going to take a look mostly at what is working in your life and increase that. I'm going to take a look at, okay, well, here's things you're complaining about because they're not working. So let's see how we can get them to work, instead of saying, oh, well, let's just get rid of that symptom. Even though your heart isn't getting any better, we can get rid of that symptom. Now, of course, what I've just given you will cause you to die. That's the standard medical route. So it's a totally different philosophy. I'm going to look at, okay, well, what are the ways that are contributing to your heart not functioning as well as you'd like? And what can we do about those? How can you learn to incorporate this into your life? I always used to joke and say, because of my dyslexia, I do this backwards. I'm the most expensive at start, and then I get cheaper and cheaper over time. You see me less and less off until I eventually get fired and you have to refer somebody to me because you're healthy and I don't get to see you anymore. You know, it's not a very good business model, but it's the way I prefer to work. Whereas the traditional medicine is I get you from the beginning, try to keep it as much as possible and put you on as many drugs that will you have to stay on for the rest of your life.
Which Howard and I probably, Howard, you probably know somebody, and I do, unfortunately, somebody who has so many medications, so many prescriptions, and one prescription causes side effects, and so there's, rather than cutting out that particular prescription, another one is added to deal with the side effects of the first one, and on until there are 12 or 13 different prescriptions for one person. And I see more people who are what I would consider drug addicts who are, let's just say that, who are getting their drugs from a licensed practitioner of health, and they're sick, but they're on these all these drugs. Well, I have to take these medicines, and it's a lot of women. I just happen to see, I know that they're probably men, but the ones that I know of are women who are, I don't even know if the right word is to say addicted, but they're sure dependent on all these prescriptions.
Yeah, Dr. Groves will be able to address this far much better than I can, Amanda. And I'm just going to throw my two cents in. And yes, I have known females and males that have been in that situation. And I've actually known a couple that got to the point, I mean, literally, you could almost take a handful in the morning, noon, and evening, a handful of pills. And then I know a couple that have actually said, this is absolutely ridiculous, and completely throw it down. I don't suggest this at all, but I'm just telling you from a personal experience, threw them away, got into, and we're going to get into the heart healthy lifestyle, diets and all this, and got to feeling better and were much healthier feeling in appearance, actions, everything, emotions. You know, there is something to that without a doubt that all of that synthetic medication does, it may be doing more harm than good in some instances.
It may be. Well, you mentioned heart healthy. So, Dr. Groves, what is considered a heart healthy lifestyle? We're always hearing about this. And there's heart hospitals popping up all over the place. How can people achieve a heart healthy lifestyle? First, what is it? And then how can people achieve it?
Well, that's a great debate of what is heart healthy, because you know, a lot of it is opinion and not actual necessary research or what actually has worked over time. Because you can fake all kinds of research, and unfortunately, it's rampant everywhere. And the higher the money, the higher the let's say undependability in the research is what I've found. That one of the things I used to like to do is actually read the research. And it's extremely disappointing. So, and how it's done and how it pays off and how usually the stats don't agree with the conclusion of the researchers. And so I look at every research paper with askew. Now, the ones that most everyone can agree on is don't smoke. That's a biggie. And it's very important because of mostly the poisons they put in the tobacco. The heart and disease and cancer rate in Turkey back in the 70s was 0.1%, yet the average consumption was over 400 times per smoker there compared to the average American. You know, but they grow their own, usually in their own backyard or nearby field, roll it in a leaf and smoke it, and it's absolutely pure. And they've grown up with that for many centuries, and the body's more adapted to it. But the poisons they put into the stuff here, you know, like one of them is called Toxic Kill. I remember Jay Leno making quite a joke about that one. Says, what's the matter, guys? Was Cancer-O-Matic already taken as a name? But that's one of the things that really poisons your cardiovascular system as well as your heart, because your heart and your blood vessels are a complete system. But so cutting out that and cutting out trans fats, that's pretty much one that everybody agrees on. Your trans fats are basically the things that you find in your prepared and processed foods. So basically, if you're eating at a restaurant, you're getting them. So cutting those out is a thing. One of the key words to look for is hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated. And One of the reasons it causes problems so much there is that how they hydrogenate that oil, which means they put an extra molecule of hydrogen there, is with nickel, which is highly toxic to the body. It causes abnormal growth on your arterial walls, which begin to lead to occlusion and plug your blood vessels and build up the cholesterol and calcium buildup there and around the heart. So you can have all kinds of problems just from that one oil. There are lots of other things as well that you can do. There are margarines are another thing to stay away from. If you're going to eat butter, eat real butter as in regards to organic butter, because the poisons of the animal are stored in the fat. Of course, butter is high fat, so you want to get organic butter. And it tastes wonderful, and actually it's very good for you. Helps you absorb a lot of your other nutrients and foods. Coconut oil, extra virgin coconut oil, is very good that way. So your diet is part of it. Your lifestyle is part of it. How freely do you give and accept love? This is a big key in regards to the functioning of your heart. It has seven layers in which it beats, and it sends out more information to your body than your brain does. Most people don't realize it, that your heart is hooked in to your brain and gives more information throughout your body to the brain than the brain does. HeartMath.com, I think, or HeartMath.org, is a site to go to and learn some of the most fascinating things about your heart. So how you use it mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, these are all part of your heart health. And holding a resentment and shutting it down there is a dis-ease just assuredly as eating a two-pound package of Oreos. To give you an example, that's the white stuff in the Oreos, is purely hydrogenated fat. So there are many things there. Exercise, as long as it's joyful, like I was speaking about early, is also a big key, because it gives you a chance to appreciate nature, appreciate what you're doing, appreciate your body, so long as it's joyful. This is part of what helps heal the physical heart as well. So there are many things to do, but they're going to tell you things like, oh, well, be sure have dairy products for calcium. It's like, no, dairy products, calcium is rock that's been put into milk. It's calcium fortified. That means they dumped rock in there. That will plug your arteries. It will rob your body, actually, of the good calcium in your bones and cause this calcium to precipitate out, give you bone spurs and osteoporosis at the same time. Dairy products is one of the worst ways of trying to get any kind of calcium in your body. But you need the calcium and the magnesium for proper functioning of your heart. So you need that directly from real foods that have it in there naturally. Green leafy vegetables give you the calcium. They also give you the magnesium, along with nuts, to help your heart out there. And most people are way deficient in magnesium compared to the calcium that they have. Magnesium is what causes your heart to relax. That's part of why calcium channel blocker drugs for heart disease are popular. It reduces the amount of calcium. But instead of suppressing something you need for so many different things in your body, if you merely increase your magnesium uptake, then you can clear up a lot of problems associated with heart, such as tachycardia, the rapid heartbeat, irregular heartbeat, any kind of the muscular issues, such as tears or holes. So I used to have atrial fibrillation go on, and went through all kinds of heart studies when I was a teenager because it was wearing out. As part of the muscular dystrophy, they said either my lungs or heart would quit first. So I had a lot of issues with the heart, thyroid as well. So there are many things that you can do. And if you're going to do a popular thing called resveratrol, which is very helpful for the endurance of your heart and your cardiovascular system, eat grapes. Don't drink wine. A handful of grapes will give you more resveratrol than a gallon of wine. So drinking wine is really not healthy for your heart because of the alcohol. But grapes are wonderful. Especially the thicker the skin, the higher the content.
What about sodium, your sodium levels?
Sodium is essential. It's one of your top four minerals you need in your body. Most people, unfortunately, get it through table salt, which is a very noxious combination of things people really don't even want to know about in order to make it white and not cake. And that's what causes a lot of the problems. And it's not due to too much salt in the body. It's the wrong kind of salt. If you get a pure salt, like a Himalayan salt or the Premier Pink salt, then that will make some dramatic changes. I've seen blood pressure drop 60 points just by changing their salt because the other one is full of aluminum that suppresses your immune system, messes with your electrical conductivity in the body because it's a poor conductor, contributes to elevated blood pressure and misfiring, just as one example. There's other things in table salt that are a problem.
Is there such a thing as too low sodium count?
By all means. Your sodium and potassium have to be in a particular ratio for your muscles to work. A lot of people's muscles aches and pain are because they're not getting enough usable sodium, and they are now not able to conduct. It's the sodium-potassium ions exchanging that causes your muscles to fire. So a lot of people's fatigue or fibromyalgia, they think that they can check their sodium levels and see where they're at and also check the quality of where they're getting sodium. You can get it in your foods to start with. Once you get off of adding regular table salt, most of the flavors start coming back in the food, the salt that's there. Or if you're still deficient, you can add salt to your meal that comes from a pure source, like the Premier salt that I carry here or the Himalayan salts that are taken from the mountains that were ancient seawater. So you've got all the other minerals that are with it. And, of course, it has color. That's part of why I go with the pink salt, because there are other minerals that naturally go along with it, and they're there for your body to use and convert. But the best kind always comes from your food, because the minerals in the soil are not very usable by the body to start with. And most of the stuff people buy as minerals is just ground up rocks or dissolved rocks by the drug companies. And you don't have a gizzard really to digest those. So you need active soil with proper bacteria to methylate it, get it into the plant. And then from the plant form, you can eat it. Your hydrochloric acid ionizes it, so you can use it in your body and goes to work. A piece of spinach that will give you 5 milligrams of calcium will do you more good than 1,500 milligrams of rock that you buy in a pill. So it's always better to eat your nutrition if you've got it in the soil to start with.
Now, when I go down the aisle and see these vitamins, I'm going to be seeing that these are little bottles of crushed up rock.
Most of them are, yes. There's only about 4 companies that I know of on the planet that actually make stuff that their vitamins and minerals are coming from food. Some will take the synthetics and put, quote, whole food in there, which is usually throwaway from the grocery stores, and some's organic, some's not. That way they'll say whole food, but they really aren't. Like I said, there's only a few. One of them only sells to practitioners, because if somebody reads the bottle and says, you know, calcium 5 milligrams, they're going, well, that's not enough. I got to have 1,500 milligrams. It's like, no, 1,500 milligrams of rock, because your body gets rid of most, if not all of it, as best as it can, because it's reading it as a poison. Whereas if you get it from your food, then the body can take it and combine it with other things to make all the various forms it needs. There's several different forms of calcium that the body uses, and it can go where it's needed when it's combined. And that is part of the marvel and wonder of the body that science can't even come close to yet for the most part. We're still pretty infantile in regards to nutrition, so eating real foods from healthy soil is the best thing you can do. It's very hard and difficult to get around here, but it's getting better. That's why I have to search the world for the proper nutrients from just a few select companies that will actually provide you with whole food that came from live soils and in a situation that's, I know from seed to bottle how it's done, processed, and brought to you so that it actually has validity having an effect. And people are quite shocked at the difference. I have a thing of an electron microscope showing the difference between the synthetic vitamin and food vitamin, and it's very eye-opening as to how that is. So it's quite a bit different.
Wow. I'm sitting here, and I'm going to try to filter through all of my handwritten notes now, ranging. We started with raw honey, the Himalayan salt, whole foods, trans fats, hydrogenated oils, and everything else. But unfortunately, this needs to be like a 5-hour show with Dr. Robert Groves. But let's kind of get into something that will help us expand this discussion, hopefully at a later date, to include just a whole bunch of folks in Oklahoma. And let's get into, a little bit of policy discussion. We started off at, I think we all know where all three of us stand on this issue, Dr. Groves, but should health be a matter of public policy? And do you think that the state should be the one defining health and determining just exactly what is or is not healthy?
Well, I don't believe that the state should determine it. I think the individual should determine it with their chosen health practitioners, educators, or if they want to do it themselves. I'm a big believer in self-responsibility. However, because we've gotten such a state that, which really wasn't intended at the time of our founders, that we've got to work with certain things in order to turn this, you know, aircraft cruiser around. That's going to take time, and it's going to take cooperation. And that's one of the difficulties. There's a quote, who was the physician to George Washington, that I like, that kind of describes where it was heading, and because we didn't heed this advice where we got to today. It says, unless we put medical freedom into the Constitution, time will come when medicine will organize into an underground dictatorship. To restrict the art of healing to one class of men and deny equal privileges to others will constitute the best deal of medical science. All such laws are un-American and despotic and have no place in a republic. The Constitution of this republic should make special privilege for medical freedom as well as religious freedom. And that's the real core there. It's about control. It's about issues that are there. So how can we turn that around? How can we get the legislature to start turning this around? I originally had come up with a bill back in 2007 called the Health Freedom Act, and right now I'm in the process of revising that in order to help cover also the issues with the Obamacare, because I was one of those rare people that actually read the thing back when they had the first 1,100 pages up on the Internet before they took it down. And, you know, I saw it's about control. It's really not about your health at all. And actually reading it was quite enlightening and also alarming when you read about the electronics chips to be put into you. Most people aren't aware of that, the required chipping in there. It's a Class 2 implantable medical record-keeping device is what it's called. So if you look for that language, I'm sure they didn't get rid of it when they upped it to 2,600 pages and wouldn't let anybody see it till it was passed.
I will say in the final version of the bill that was stricken, but like a lot of characters on soap operas, it can come back.
Oh, yeah. Well, they've got a Class 3 chip that goes into your brain and can control your physical movements without your will, and also broadcast actual voices inside your head at a distance. And they've already gone through all the animal studies and were working on people. And that was 2 years ago when they were bragging about it on Science Friday on NPR. So it's an amazing speed that they're getting a lot of these things there. And it's just, we've got to put a halt to a lot of things, because all too often scientists do not go with morals, and because they consider that, you know, science a god, and it's become a religion, and they get lost in it. So it's something that we as a people have to say, we're going to have freedom and we're going to have equality and access in this. And so how we can bring that chip around is the key, and it's freedom of choice is our most important and innate freedom. You know, it's a freedom that really needs protection from the law or by the law, depending upon a person's view, but it needs to be enshrined, for lack of a better word, from industrial exploitation, religious dogma, political rhetoric, all these things, because the ability to have to freely have access to and choice of what we put into and on our bodies to maintain or regain health is paramount to a successful and peaceful society. So in that sense, it is the concern of the state, but concern to ensure the freedom. Because without health, we have nothing. No other freedoms are available to us. Without health, we lose the freedom to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in a steady, methodical, and unerring manner. Poor health and its costs are bankrupting the country just in medical expenses alone because of guaranteed payment by the government. Because every time they jack the price up, the government will cover it. And that's why it skyrocketed so dramatically. And then you get the dysfunctioning individual, and like you say, drug-dependent and drug-addicted, and you see the rise in crime, increased pollution, lowered productivity, and lots of problems we already face as a society. You know, so the security of freedom of choice and health is a priority, and how we can get the legislature to do that on a local, state, national level is a challenge, and it's a real key. So that's something that I'm working on. I go back and forth through frustration of people not realizing the importance before, but I think now it's picked in most everybody's interest dramatically. So it's going to get a lot more intense, too.
When will you have the language ready on this Health Freedom, Oklahoma Health Freedom Act?
Probably this next week.
By this next week. Yeah. It's too late to introduce it for this session.
Correct.
However, would you like some help in getting that through after we read the language? Would you be willing
Absolutely.
To let us help?
Absolutely, because in the old days, it boiled down to about three of us doing all the work. We had about a dozen going rah-rah, and about three that didn't work. And sometimes that is the case, but I think we have so many more people now that are aware of it and so talented in many other areas. I think we can make a very good flow of it and get it in this next year and get it passed.
Do you have?
I'll be, and I'm sorry, but I read, and I think you have that 2006 version. I think it's on your website. I read that.
Yes.
And one thing interesting, and I'm plowing the ground here for next session for any legislators that may be listening or listen to this later on. And you know, the deal is here in Oklahoma, we have a lot of legislators that are saying, you know, they're giving, I guess, lip service to, you know, we're going to look for free market solutions to these this healthcare issue here in Oklahoma. And one thing that I like about the language that you had, and I'm sure that you're going, you know, you are updating it, but the basis of it is still there, is that that is truly, truly a free market approach. It puts the power in the hands of those that are dealing with it directly, and that is the client or the patient, but yeah, you use the term client, and the doctor or the naturopath or whatever, and it, they're not stuck with that. They have the choice to go to an MD, seek the allopathic, or they can go the naturopathic way, and that goes back to you were talking about the medical officer, I guess, during the Washington era, saying it's all about freedom of choice in healthcare and people being able to decide, and that's what I liked about that. And you know, for all these legislators out there that are saying we're looking for a free market approach, folks, when Obamacare is struck down in the Supreme Court, this is the thing to come back with, in my opinion.
I think that's a great beginning on this legislation, and I will run it by our board, but I'm pretty sure that we're going to be on board with supporting that because it is liberty-oriented. Real quick, the idea of Obamacare was that everybody needs – health will improve if they have access to insurance, so we're going to make sure everybody's got insurance. On your business, which is at again, the name of your business and how people can reach you.
It's a naturopathic healing arts center, and they can call me at 918-496-9401 or go to my website at barbaragroves.com. Right now the website is down as far as email communication, so I'll call the office directly.
All right. And do people need insurance in order to avail themselves of your services, or can they pay cold hard cash?
I work with cold hard cash. I don't accept insurance companies at all, so it's strictly your choice, and it's out of your pocket. The insurance system is part of the problem. For people who want insurance, it's great. But see, healthcare is about healthcare, not about insuring the insurance industry.
That sounds like free market to me, doesn't it? To you, Howard?
We're
about at the end of this show, and our guest today has been Dr. Robert Groves, and I have to agree with Howard, we could have you on for 5 hours and probably still not cover everything, and we would
I'd have to get some more sheets of paper to write my notes on if we had him on longer.
Well, you can listen to the podcast and take notes again. That's what we're going to have. I'm going to have to do that myself. I was scribbling notes as well, and we just wanted to have available to our listeners the idea that there are alternatives to going to a traditional medical system, which is so controlled now by people that you really don't want involved in the process. That's the music indicating the end of this hour of America in the Balance on Truth and Focus Internet Radio. We thank you for listening, and may God bless you.